Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the Cooligans. In the first segment, we talk about Arsenal. Is this their year? Is it too early to say that? What are the reasons we think maybe Arsenal could get finally over that hump?
Exactly. And we're going to continue this episode with a fantastic interview with the one and only Colm Deland, a.k.a. Kid Super, fashionista. My man's involved in comedy, football, playing soccer with Ronaldinho. And now he is joining us on the Cooligans. So all this and more today on the Cooligans.
All right, so I went to Philly by myself.
Okay. All right, what drug deal were you completing?
Eat, pray, love, dog. I went to Philly because I was like, yo, I wanted to go to the... But wifey was out of town for the day, so I was like, what am I going to do, you know?
Philadelphia.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, another city. What happens in the zip code don't count. It was really mostly me eating carbs, to be completely honest with you. That's what I call dick, dude. No, anyway. All right. Just eating carbs.
whatever.
Whatever floats your flotilla. Hey, look, I did it anyway. Yeah. So, whatchamacallit? I go to Philly. I was like, let me see if I could get there in time for the Arsenal game at 10 a.m. I'll spend the day in Philly. I'll go to a couple of cool food spots, maybe do like art or whatever. And then I'll go to the Union versus NYCFC game at night. I'm like, boom, what a day in Philly. It's only an hour and a half, right? Away. So the night before, I go to a whiskey festival.
Where's this whiskey festival?
It's at the Bowery Hotel here in the city.
Okay.
Me and my boy, Mike Albanese, if you don't know, very funny comedian, huge guy, could have played in the NFL as a linebacker. True story. Huge human being.
He's huge. I mean, he's big.
He's a big.
Huge is a stretch for.
If something bad happens, I'm hiding behind him. You know what I mean? He's just like he's like big shouldered and you know what I mean? He looks Nordic. You know,
I could see that,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
He got big ass head. You know,
huge is not the word I would use, but I understand what you mean. Yeah.
Okay. Well, bigger than both of us.
Bigger than without a doubt.
Yeah. If I jumped on your back, he'd still be bigger than us, sure. Right? So you think he's got more places to put the whiskey, right? Mm-hmm. We're out there. We're having a good time. We're going from table to table. We're trying all the whiskeys. They have these buckets where you can spill the whiskey out, and most of them are not. The best. There's a few that are like really, really good, but most of them you're like, I could see why you're trying to market this. And so I'm spilling a lot of them out. So is he. But throughout the night, we probably have the equivalent of like maybe three or four shots of whiskey or three or four whiskey cups, like a couple, like I would say like max 5 ounces of whiskey throughout the night. It's a lot, but it's like over the span of like 4 hours. Sure. And we're eating throughout the whole thing. I had a slice of pizza beforehand. We're eating fried chicken sandwiches. We're eating a bunch of stuff. They had cupcakes. They had, booze-infused ice cream. That was new for me.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I've had that. There's a...
It feels very like I'm in a mall in middle America.
Yeah, yeah. I had... there's like a chain that does this.
Oh, is it? This one's called Tipsy Scoop, you know? And I was just like, how did I not know? That's how much whiskey I had. I didn't know. So I'm like... I'm actively flirting with like dudes who make whiskey. I'm like, hey, where's the place? I'll go check it out. This whiskey's great. I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
That's all to say. The next morning I wake up, I do not make it there in time for the beginning of the game. I am
not a surprise.
Not in the greatest shape I've ever been in, but I'm rushing. Have you ever had, you're not a big drinker, you don't like whiskey. Do you know what whiskey are?
I've heard.
Okay,
yes, yeah.
So imagine you had raw chicken, right? Your body reacts the same way to whiskey, right? Uh-huh. So before I leave the house, I'm like, I'm going to be in that bathroom for another 20 minutes. So I delay myself. I get there. I get to Philly. I go to this place called Misconduct Tavern, which seems like this is the place that Arsenal Philadelphia, like I couldn't even find like the other places to go.
Is it Misconduct or like Misconduct?
I thought the same thing.
Okay.
It's like, oh, she owns the place? Old Gertrude Conduct? No, it turns out it's Misconduct, right? Like get in here and have a wild time. It literally like eight.
You want to misbehave, boys?
And she's a different lady. You walk in, there's 70, 50-year-old dudes in Arsenal shirts that don't fit. Uh-huh. Yeah, actually, they were having a great time. It was a great place if you've never been. Anyway, long story short, the reason I bring that up, I made it there at halftime. And as soon as I get there, I'm like, I don't want beer or any more alcohol. I've had enough for the weekend. I haven't drank since the whiskey festival. Who needs it? But my stomach was like, hey, we're not done yet. But it's halftime. I'm not going to blow up the bathroom at misconduct.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord knows what happens in there, right? Doesn't seem like a lot of good conduct happens in there.
You know, maybe Mrs. Conduct. Yeah. But not Miss.
Senora Conduct. Very different. But I'm like, yo, my stomach is killing me. But we're in downtown Philly, like in the big building area, right?
Sure.
Just around the corner, right where I parked, it's the Four Seasons. So this is my move. Have you seen this trend of people going into hotels to get free breakfast? They'll get a lanyard and pretend they're part of a conference.
I've not seen this, but I can.
This is big on TikTok. It's big on Instagram right now. Hotels are like, please stop doing this because now we have to police breakfast and we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But people are getting lanyards and just walking up to conferences, or they're just walking into hotels that get free breakfast with confidence that they stay there and just get a waffle or whatever.
I've seen a dude do this for like concerts. He'll get into the VIP and is all of a sudden hanging out with Travis Scott.
Yeah. This, okay. So I've done this in concerts as well. So I'm about to do this, but I'm not here for free breakfast. I'm here to give them. You know what I mean? I'm not taking food. I'm going to give some back. You know what I mean?
What a disgusting way to put
it. Yeah, baby. Welcome to the show. So I walk in. Four Seasons is huge. The lobby's tiny. It's just a desk and elevators. You can tell the rest of the building is big. And I'm like, oh, no. My move is to just like blend in.
Yeah.
You can't blend. There's no blending in. It's me, the guy, and the elevator.
You have an Arsenal shirt on. You're not blending in.
I didn't wear any Arsenal clothing because I know I was going to go to the NYCFC game Philly game. Yeah, and you can't wear team stuff in the press box. Anyway, long story short, I walk over and I had dripped. What do I always do? I always get a little stain on all my clothes.
It's kind of it's your thing.
Yeah. This, but by the way, can I just say I really don't want this to be my thing. I hate this. You said it once. You're like, no one wants this to happen less, and yet it keeps happening. That is me. I'm very passionate about my clothing, and yet all of them have a little bit of a stain, right? So this one, little drop of coffee while during the ride. I got nothing to do, so I say, you know what? I'm gonna go get a Tide stick after the game, but let me use this to my advantage. So the guy goes, "Can I help you?" And I go, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be meeting my father-in-law. And I pointed up, meaning like in the building, not like he died. We're having a seance. Is there anywhere I could wash this off? And he goes, oh, yeah, dude, just go use the bathroom back there. You'll be fine. I said, thank you. Went in there, properly destroyed this bathroom.
Got it.
To the point where I closed the lid. I'm like, I don't want the next person to see this and be deterred.
It just took 3 hours to get this stain out of there.
I was in there long enough that guy wasn't. It wasn't his shift anymore. There was a woman on the way out. And she's like, have a good day. I'm like, you too. Walked over, got a Tide stick. But I was very confident. I just walked in and I used I pointed up because he's probably thinking, look at the way this man is dressed.
I love it.
If his father-in-law stays at the Four Seasons, he's the very least, at least get the coffee stain off your shirt. To have any chance you're going to impress this man.
This is the source of your power, your feces.
Yes, yeah. Dude.
It's called confidence.
Oh, my God, bro. If I have to poo, I'm going to find a way to finesse.
Right.
I could poo finesse anybody in any situation.
It's the plot of Catch Me If You Can if you had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, my God. Flush Me If You Can. can I tell you something, though?
Go for it.
The toilet paper at the Four Seasons in Philadelphia, best I've used ever.
Wow. I mean, not surprising.
The only one better, I could say it here. The only one, that's not the best I've used. The best I ever used, and I could say it here, it was Thierry Henry's bathroom. That was crazy. I could say it here because this is the intro.
Yeah.
Second to that, the best in America, the best in this hemisphere.
You're going to get a lot of questions now.
Yeah, well, and guess what? I'm not answering any of them, bro.
Why were you in Thierry's bathroom?
I'm not answering any of them.
Were you there legally?
That's a great question. Let me just tell you something. The cameras oscillate, so if you time it properly, you get in.
Alexis crawling in like Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. They're like, we heard some fat guy outside go boom to boom to boom boom to boom to boom. It's me making the music as I'm crawling.
Oh, that's for a separate Patreon episode.
Incredible toilet paper shouts. Shouts to the Four Seasons in Philadelphia. Why am I pointing at the camera? None of this is making air.
That's what, and that's the whole point of this story. Sponsored by the toilet paper at Four Seasons.
Imagine they were the new top topic. Actually, that's a new one for bottom topic. Get it? Toilet paper, bottom?
All right, folks. Hey, let's get.
All right, folks.
Charmin has a sponsor card to work on it.
Yeah. Also, real quick, Bad Bunny wore this hat.
Yes, and you've worn this hat the last 3 weeks every day.
But guess what? J Balvin stole it from me. And now because of that, Bad Bunny got it. So in a way, I'm the reason both of those superstars have worn this hat.
Okay.
That's just a, that's part of the flex. That's part of the intro we call flex.
Nobody knows what you're talking about because you haven't described it.
No, but it's just a, it's got a word on it. It's a social club in New York. Whatever. All right. Watch the show. Watch the episode.
Welcome to the Cooligans, hey. Everyone. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Yes, two Latinos.
That's right.
On Hispanic Heritage Month, being Latino.
And guess what? We're not playing the Super Bowl. We haven't been asked. We want to.
But we would. Yep. Okay. We're going to have to, storm it somehow.
Yeah.
And make our presence felt.
Which turns out we can get pardoned for if we do that.
Okay. So, I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, hot show today. We got an incredible guest. The one and only Kid Super. Colin Deland. He is, a fashion icon involved in comedy, music, everything, every fashion show, Fashion Week, Paris Fashion Week, everything.
You know what? Someone's an artiste. You know what I mean? They're not an artist. They're an artiste. Everything they touch.
A savant.
Yeah. A renaissance man, if you will.
All right. Other French words.
You know what I'm saying? All right.
So
he's one of those dudes that everything he touches turns to gold, including this episode.
Yeah. If anybody is not aware, Kid Super is a clothing designer. That's his main hustle. But he
designed all the Club World Cup, all the Puma Club World Cup.
There were eight teams that had jerseys. Dortmund was one of them. I'm not wearing the Kid Super specific one right now.
You're not.
But all the Puma jerseys were designed by Kid Super, by Colin. And we'll talk all about it. The guys involved in so many different things. And then also shining light on in music, in comedy, and using fashion to kind of merge all those worlds. So it's a very fitting guest, no pun intended, for our show. So
come on.
We'll talk to him in a little bit. But today, let's start with Arsenal. They are now top of the league. We got to ask the question, is this the season Arsenal break their title drought curse? Which is why it's our top topic, presented by Buchanan's Blended Scotch Whiskey, an official FIFA World Cup 26 supporter. Nos vamos al Mundial with a Bucanita on hand. So
this is the top topic.
Arsenal, they win against West Ham. Congrats to them. But the last two matches, especially in the Premier League, are feeling there's a lot of heart. There's a lot of belief, especially winning matches, winning matches late. Liverpool also stumbling a little bit, losing three matches in a row.
Losing a match late.
Yeah.
That's exciting to see as an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, Arsenal fans love to see it. But is this the season that they can finally get through?
So, okay, if you're asking me that, can this be the season? It also feels a little too early to say that. But what are the signs that would suggest to me that we're in a better place to do that than we were in the previous three seasons? The biggest issue for me in the previous three seasons was not having supplemental talent or comparable talent to our starters, to Arsenal starters, when one of the Arsenal starters went down with injury or needed to spend some time, right? Take a bit of a break. Bukayo Saka, remember he went that almost like an entire year playing football week in and week out, whether it was, international competition in the league, there was no one to replace him.
The hamstrings can only do so much.
Right? Yes, he's a young guy, but you can damage a young guy's future by overplaying him, right? And I think it's different per player, but he seemed like he was able to withstand it. But you're also so afraid of like, all right, what could this mean if he doesn't get a chance to take a break? Also, players like Martin Odegaard, the lack of a striker, right? When in the past we've needed Mikel Merino to come in, someone who's clearly not a striker to try to be a striker. Even in a way, you could say Kai Havertz wasn't supposed to be a striker. He was brought in to be a midfielder and then found some success there. And they were like, all right, well, then you do it because there's no one else. Can you fill in those pieces? Can you have a transfer window that fills in the pieces you need? They did that. They spent a lot of money, but they brought in players that weren't, for the future, that weren't projects. They brought in players. Eze, not a project. Jokeres, not a project. Both of them over the age of what they typically buy. Mm-hmm. Still not old, in their peak, but over a little bit older than they usually buy. They went in and they got players that said, okay, we're going to fill in those gaps as much as possible. Even when you thought they were done, they went out and go and get Eze. They're clearly invested. They're clearly backing the manager and saying, all right, this is the season you're going to win. The question becomes, can you put that together, right? Can you do that? For me, that simply means, can you play to your strengths you've had? Can you put yourself in a better position to be prepared for games where your starters are maybe injured? I think the answer is yes. Then can your competition not have one of these lights out seasons, right? We're seeing Liverpool start the season off strong. We're already seeing a couple wrinkles, right? We're seeing a couple dents in the armor. They're defensively, yeah, they went out and they spent a ton of money offensively. Defensively, they're not nearly as solid as they were before. Without Trent Alexander-Arnold venturing forward, I think you're seeing Mohamed Salah not being as effective. I'm not saying he's not going to be. Clearly, one of the greatest talents the Premier League's ever seen. He's going to find ways to be as effective. And maybe it's also just having more talent around him. But without Trent Alexander roaming forward, he's not as free as he used to be.
It's interesting. I mean, I think I mentioned this a couple of days ago. Just like the concern about, you know, even making the point of like, oh, not having Trent Alexander Arnold, you know, and all
this is what y'all wanted.
This is what you wanted to get rid of him because you couldn't defend, and now you're kind of missing him a little bit. I also think Jeremy Frimpong is injured, and I think that is a big factor of why they've been losing these games. The spotlight on Florian Wirtz is getting a little hotter.
Yeah.
Because it's like, bro.
But this shows Liverpool got some issues that they've got to work out.
Yes.
Arne Slot's not having an easier time. The honeymoon's over. Go to the next competition. Manchester City. They're back.
Sure.
But Rodri going down. This was clearly the one Jenga piece you couldn't take out of this team. It proved to you in the past. Him going down, I don't know for how long. Or maybe there's worries. Do you have a replacement? No, the answer is no. You do not have a replacement for Rodri. Can Pep change the tactics? Everyone's going to say yes because he's the greatest manager of all time, right? Quote unquote. I'm not suggesting he isn't. He definitely belongs on the list. He couldn't do it last season. Did he go and get the pieces for just in case Rodri is not available? We're left to see. Going down, Chelsea, can they string together a championship season? Doesn't seem like they can put it all together.
No.
This seems like they're stronger than they were last season. You know how much I love Enzo Maresca. His wife knows, right? I told her. I love your husband, even though I'm an Arsenal fan. Tottenham clearly putting together a good season. Crystal Palace putting together a good season. Those teams still feel like they have something left to prove. If you're telling me the title bout is going to be between Liverpool, Arsenal, and Manchester City, who of those three right now looks the best? And again, early in a season. But as of right now, who looks the best to lead that title charge? I think we'd all say it's Arsenal.
Arsenal seem to have a different like belief and mental fortitude than we're sort of used to seeing. And depth is, you know, I was going to make the same point. The Odegaard getting injured and it not like you
that
even
could
saw.
Be huge.
It could be huge. But in the post-match comments, I was watching Mikel Arteta and he was talking about it in a sense of worry for the player, like, oh, he's had such bad luck, and you know, when he started the season he was injured, and now just something else. I believe he either tore or has some slight tear in a knee ligament. They said an MCL injury, so he's not going to be out for a very, very long time. But you can see the frustration on Odegaard. He was just like, man, I just want to play. I just want to be on the pitch. And even Arteta talking about it was just being like, oh man, he's had such bad luck. When I feel like if he was talking about this injury last year or the year prior, it's like, we lost one of our best players.
He'd be like, why does this keep happening to me?
I'm tired of this. Yeah. Why can't Pep be dealing with this? Or somebody else, not me.
Why do all the bad things happen to good people? Me.
I've done nothing wrong. So that's where there's clearly a lot more confidence in on those bench players. And there's a little bit more preparation. And they know how they got burned in the past with not being able to replace players that were injured.
Well, we had this conversation before. I think Noni Madueke is also going to be a big piece that he was gelling, so just having time away from the team.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had this conversation when Eze first came into Arsenal. You kept saying, like, he's so good centrally. And I'm like, he can play on the left. He can play on the left. Well, now he's going to be asked to play centrally.
Sure.
And why I'm a little worried with Odegaard coming out, there was a tactic that's pretty new this season that I hadn't seen in the past, right? In the past, if you look at overwhelmingly a lot of the attacks, like a large percentage, came from the right. Always from the right.
Sure.
Martin Odegaard likes to hang out in the right half spaces, and you got Bukayo Saka there. And it was like those two.
It was Odegaard to Saka to Timber.
Yeah.
Marino.
And then maybe you could break in from that side. Yeah. And even when Kai Havertz was in, he floated a little bit to the right. Like, everything was happening on the right. And my huge argument, I kept praying, we've got to do something about Martinelli. I was like, I'm done with this guy. Because he was supposed to be that pressure release. If the ball was sent to the left, it was a side with switch, he was supposed to offer something so dangerous, so lightning quick, put a defender on their back heels that other defenders would have to start to kind of move a little bit further to the left and give some more space to Odegaard, Saka, and whoever was the striker at the time. And it just wasn't happening. So I'm like, we need to get rid of him and bring in somebody better. Noni Madueke signs. I'm like, immediately an upgrade on the left. Eze signs. Immediately an upgrade on the left. Martinelli kind of seems to be back a little bit. But when he's not in the game, or even when he is in the game, I've seen Bukayo Saka go to the left as a sub, come into the left, and I've seen Martin Odegaard flow to the half space on the left. And they're duplicating their right-sided success on the left. That's something we hadn't seen before. So clearly Mikel Arteta is like, not just the depth, but we're adding tactics. We're adding little wrinkles to the tactics that we've had with the same players we've had before. Trusting his players could do it on the left. And 2 weeks in a row, we saw Martin Odegaard send a nice line-breaking pass into the box on the left side that gives an outlet for the left runner breaking past the back line. We've seen accessories, if you will. This new thing, right? Yeah, this new chance or object that, what's the fucking word I'm looking for?
I don't know. Not feature, not tool.
No.
I don't know. But
whatever.
I understand what you mean.
Well, let's go with feature. There's new feature now that all of a sudden defenders have to protect against, which wasn't there before.
Maybe Jokeres is a big factor.
You notice I didn't even bring him up once?
Sure. Because one thing I didn't realize, I knew he was like a striker his size doesn't seem like he would be that fast.
He's pretty fast,
and he's using his muscle to create some space. He's still probably not finishing chances that he should, and like there's a few decisions in the final third that I think he could have gotten a couple more goals already. But that
he's like a half second threat, too slow for a shot.
Sure.
Which I think will change.
But that threat, and you see it in the Champions League game that Odegaard sent that ball to him, and he just like, oh, he gets excited when those through balls come
to him. I get to muscle somebody. I get to body somebody real quick.
But, hey, look, so I don't know how much we need to be applauding Mikel Arteta, because there has been it's been disappointing, obviously, all these second place finishes. But Mikel Arteta is now tied for fourth for most wins for a manager of a top flight English side in their first 300 games. So he's at 177. The record holder is Pep Guardiola with 219.
Jose Mourinho, Kenny Dalglish, Jurgen Klopp are the ones who've beaten him. All of those guys have won titles.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you look at the points per season for Mikel Arteta, he's at a point per game, 71%. He's currently at this season. That's 2.3 points per game, which is matching the 23-24 season that they had 89 points, but they finished in second place, two behind Manchester City. So there, you can clearly see that the margins are not. Mikel Arteta is not a bad manager, and it's you know, the calls. Even the last 2 years of like, oh, we need another manager. It's like,
I don't know. That was
the
that's people, a very select,
very,
small
very
group.
But even still,
very like, loud, but very small
but,
group.
But the amount, the level of being spoiled to be like, you finish in second, you're like, you're not good enough. We don't want you here, and all this other stuff is like kind
of
crazy.
Yeah, but this is a club that had a lot of glory in the past. And I think a lot of the fans want that, including me, want that to remain.
Sure.
So finishing second doesn't bring you back to that glory. To
more than anything, and I'll give Mateta, Arteta.
Yeah. Crystal Palace, great team.
Give him some credit, but I think the leveling up of Arsenal's two center backs, and then getting Mosquera as well. So Saliba,
Gabriel
Magalhães, and Mosquera. This is, to me, a title-winning trio of center backs. And if one of them gets injured, there's not real... Magalhães, I feel like maybe that you're a little bit more concerned, because I think he is maybe the best center... Maybe the best center back. But I think, I'll say at the least now, for he's the best center back in his head. Where...
I get that.
He is... He is getting, what is it, with Voltimare, with
he gets in players' head. Yeah.
To a degree of you don't do that if you don't believe in yourself. So he's like, any little margin to maybe get an extra point here or get extra 2 points, I'm going to take it.
Right.
I'm gonna,
when Voltimare started going like, yo, he hit me. He's like, got him exactly where I want.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you going to cry?
He's like, shake my hand. I don't know if you noticed, when he scored, he tucked his hand behind his back.
Yeah, yeah.
Every little thing he does is to get in the head of the striker.
So
I love it.
This is the difference I'm seeing with Arsenal. Just like they're becoming a team that other people are starting to hate. They're hating the certain players. Mm-hmm. And not just because, like, usually Arsenal players carry themselves in a way that's just like they don't have a Dennis Rodman type.
No, they were very Arsene Wenger of, like, you know, what is it? Walk quietly but carry a big stick. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Hey.
That was who said that? What president said that? Monroe?
Is it Teddy Roosevelt?
Teddy Roosevelt? Maybe it was Teddy Roosevelt.
Was it Teddy Roosevelt?
No.
Yeah.
Was it Teddy Roosevelt or Monroe? Wasn't it the Monroe Doctrine? Or maybe it might
have been. Nobody remembers Monroe. Nobody quote Monroe.
I don't remember, but I mean, I think it was Teddy Roosevelt. Anyway.
Alexis was right.
Come on. History buff. Alexis girls. We all know that. But look, this is the time to do it, because especially with other teams showing a few weaknesses, Arsenal oddly seemed like the most steady, even with the injury to Odegaard. So we'll see how that goes. All right. Before we get to Kid Super, just a quick shout out. We can announce that we will be hosting the Street Soccer USA and Borussia Dortmund Times Square Cup. So this is this Saturday, October 11th. It starts at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
We're going to be there around noon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Relax, everybody. We ain't waking up that early.
You don't have to be there the whole day. Yeah. It's a really cool thing. So Street Soccer USA is obviously a great charity and organization.
We've done this before. Times Square. They're building a pitch in Times Square.
Yeah. So right by, it's like right by
Six Guys Dressed as Spider-Man.
it's a 5v5 between all the Times Square characters.
It's all the Spider-Mans versus all the Minnie Mouses.
it was a bloodbath last year. It was crazy.
Oh, yo, the Minis don't play, dog.
No, it's a really awesome game, and there's a lot of different teams that play. There's like a youth tournament, an adult tournament. There's a
couple big names gonna be there.
Couple celebs are gonna be there, including the Cooligans. So Saturday in Times Square, you're going to hear us in the mic. I don't need to give you that much direction, but yeah.
Last time we had about 30 Dominican teenagers gathered around us with the jokes.
So it's like right near the tickets booth. And
TKTS.
So come through. If you're going to be in New York.
Trust me, it's hard to say this in Times Square and mean it. You cannot miss us. I promise you.
You will hear us loud and clear in the heart of Times Square. So come through. Saturday, October 11th. So shout out to BV. And Street Soccer USA for the invitation and letting us host. But we're going to have a great time. So come through Saturday, October 11th. It starts at 9 a.m. So see you there. All right. So with that said, let's get to our conversation with the one and only fashionista, Kid Super. So we'll be right back after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Kid Super, everybody.
What's good, man? Do you prefer being called Kid Super or by the government name?
No, if you know me,
yeah.
But you call me my name, but my name is Colm.
Yeah.
And it's a weird spelling, so everybody kind of says it wrong.
Yeah, there's vowels missing.
There's a lot of vowels missing. Yeah. So, but that's another fun thing where it's like, how well do you know me? It's like, oh, it's Colm. Then it's like, not too well. Yeah, Kid Super, not that well. But I never really introduce myself as Kid Super. Feels like, does Superman introduce himself as Superman? I guess when he's wearing the...
Yeah, he probably would not say his real name, right? Damn, I gave it up.
Whoopsie.
Day one.
Maybe I should. I don't know. But yeah, I usually introduce myself as
Well, that's
as
a good
Colm.
Question because people do call you Kid Super.
Yeah.
Is Kid Super you or is it the brand?
I think both are quite intertwined now, but in this... It was like a little bit of an exaggerated version of who I was when I started. Mm-hmm. I was like 14, 15 when I started selling t-shirts and I looked like I was 8. So I really was like this kid super character. That
you
was
look
like,
14, 15 now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. So I was like really, but I was like really, really young looking as a kid. And so the kid super thing was an alter exaggerated ego of what I was. And it was funny because when I started it, I remember thinking like, man, it's so childish and so like streetwear. It's kind of limiting of what it could be. But then as it grew, it slowly kind of pushed me to do crazy, amazing things. So I was like, man, if I called the brand Kid Super, I should be Kid Super. And it was kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy in a really cool way. And
you manifested
now,
it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not like a huge like vision board manifest guy, which like a lot of people are.
Yeah.
But I do write to-do lists and try to accomplish the goals. Bro,
this is now, what is it? Diary of a CEO?
Yeah.
Bro, this podcast is going to go 4 hours. Wait, you're going to give us all
that. Got to be British and pensive?
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. So I wake up at 5 a.m. and run.
Yeah. You're that dude that puts his face in the ice water.
What's it? Between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. That's one day.
Yeah. Those are always hilarious. 38
days. I love those guys.
And also, they're like only successful for podcasting.
Yeah.
I really don't understand like the self-help people that all they do is self-help.
Right. Anyone it's that's like, done enough to tell you what they do for self-help is too busy to tell you what they do for self-help.
Yeah. Like even Tony Robbins, is that his name?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's only been Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
He's but the supposedly guy on stage. He is incredible. I've never experienced it. But
gullible people say that's my theory.
I'm not buying a ticket. I'll be honest. I don't know.
Dude, it changed your life. I met some guy who came into the store the other day and he had the bracelet from like 6 years ago when he went to a Tony Robbins and it changed his complete life. So
Jesus.
Not
that dude
him.
Was a bum before.
Well, it wasn't like
you just need someone to tell you, I don't know, maybe drink water. And all of a sudden, this guy changed my life. Yeah, well, why? Because he has a raspy voice.
Now what if you get Tony Robbins on the show?
I'm gonna tell him, you're whack. You've been lying to people for years, but you've been helping him, so it's all good.
You were mentioning about even a streetwear brand being kind of like limiting, and that's one of the questions I want to ask you, because you are one of the most versatile people I ever met. So we got connected the first time we spoke, well, a couple years ago. Our friend Andrew Schultz connected us because he was like, Colin is being into football, into soccer. Yeah. And then when I looked more into it, and then you were messaging with us, and you were like, I want to meet Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
We have this in common. Both of us are on Ronaldinho's feed. How crazy is that?
What's better than that? I thought you were going to say both of us want to marry Ronaldinho. No. You'd be like, yeah, that's completely true.
It might happen. He's got like 18 wives.
Exactly. That's what I was telling him. I was like, just add me in there.
Yeah, we could sneak in there.
So it was surreal. And Alexis mentioning the word manifest, because we were speaking, this must have been, I could pull up a second. It's probably like 3 years ago, 2-3 years ago. And you're like, oh, my dream is to like meet Ronaldinho. And then like 6 weeks later, I see you meet Ronaldinho and you're like, a child.
Yeah, it's his lock screen.
It's my lock screen.
Do not zoom on what that text was. We're going to have to blow that bottom part out.
The text was good.
Okay.
But it really, I think even in that moment, because I heard of the brand Kid Super, but I didn't know you personally. I'm not as plugged into fashion as Alexis might be.
I'm a bit more tapped in, yeah.
So, but the first time I saw you was when you did, there was like a fashion show, I think it was in Paris, and you did a comedy show.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all wore your designs and stuff like that. And I think Scholes was there, Stavros was there.
Stavros, which I had to sew two jackets together.
This is my question, because I saw Colm at the, in the suite, and I said to him, I go, hey, I got two of your jackets. I put them on, they're double XL, but I can't really close them. And what Colm did next was tickle my belly. which is to say, that's not my fault, buddy. Yeah. That seems a little bit of a you problem. But the reason I bought the jackets was like, I've worn Kid Super stuff before, so I guess maybe they were just oversized, the other stuff. But when I saw Stavros on stage, I said, bruh, I'm double X. He might be 4X. If you got stuff for Stavros, I know you got stuff for me. And then you told me you Frankensteined a bunch of clothing.
So this is the funny thing. So when you make clothes for Fashion Week, you usually just make like a medium, right?
Because
that's what the models are.
Let's go right here. I'm a model. Thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
Hey, good for you, Papa.
And so what I do for Fashion Week is I make a medium and an XL. And between those two sizes, you can get
There we go.
You try to you can get everyone, but for Fashion Week, for the comedian ones, we were booking them so late because they, you know, comedians at the time or just were hard to book. We didn't know who was going to be available not.
Yeah.
So I didn't know Stavros or who was going to say yes. So I just had made like, you know, maybe this should fit most.
Right.
And then Stavros agreed and he comes and we're
and this is peak fat Stavros. Oh. This is before even the first attempt to lose
He's
weight.
He's as tall as he is wide.
Yeah.
And we're looking at him and like, all jokes aside, we were like, what are we going to do? Because we didn't want to disrespect him either. And he's obviously a comedian and funny and his, he knows his size. But we had to sew an XL on his right arm and a large on his left arm. That's- and the back were just two jackets, like arms that. And then we threw like a huge coat over and he came out and it ended up being like absolutely
yeah,
perfect.
He looked great. He looked great.
But it was hilarious. We were like, ooh, and we have that jacket like still in the archive where it's like
this massive jacket. I might have to buy it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story. We launched the New York City FC kit last year. They flew us to LA. We did a whole photo shoot and they forgot the double XL kit. They only had an extra large and the lady's like putting her arms in it and the stylist and she's like, it should be fine. I'm stretching. I'm like, lady, it's not going to work.
You don't know how I'm built.
I put it on. Looks like sausage skin. I mean, you see the outline of my areola. You know what I mean? So I was like, yo, it's not going to work. So they cut the back and they taped it.
Yeah.
And I put a jacket over it. But I was like, again, as a comic, I'm like, I'm going to be able to go on stage and tell this in a very funny way. But right now, this kind of sucks. Like,
so it's
sucks.
The motivation you need to you know,
that's stop fat shaming me, Kiss Super.
Well, everybody, when it's funny because sometimes big guys are always like, hey, Kid Super, like I need the the problem with making like a double or triple XL, there's not a lot of you.
Yeah.
So you're like, I made 10 and I only sold 3.
Right.
And now what do I do with 7 blankets, you know?
Gift it to me. And I will wear it on the show.
So I was telling people, I'm like, we got hats.
Yeah.
Maybe some socks.
No, Uniqlo is a hat store for me.
That's amazing.
He's like, how do I make my customers fatter?
Well, I want to give you some credit because I'm not sure you changed music and comedy. Are you aware of that?
I don't know if I'll give myself all the credit, but that's pretty cool to hear.
I'll tell the story in a rush. Russ, the rapper, you let him use your DAO. You let him live below your store, right?
This is true. This is a crazy like Mandela effect.
Bro, you are the butterfly of the butterfly effect.
I am.
So I'll give everyone. So Russ goes to live in your studio. He decides no major labels want me, so I'm just going to make a song every week and put it out.
So that's even better. So look, I'll give you even more context.
I love this. Okay.
So
Russ, we're going to bring this around a comedy.
This is great. This is great. So Russ dropped 11 albums on like Dat Piff.
Yeah.
All these random sites, blah, blah. And
SoundCloud,
then he was trying to drop it on SoundCloud, but it was just so much music.
Yeah.
And he had probably like 1,000 Instagram followers, which is like the smallest amount you can basically have if you're older than 12.
Yeah.
So then he's looking at his plays, and his best songs are usually around the 8th song, but he keeps looking at the plays, and the number one plays is the first song. So he's like, damn it, people aren't listening the whole time. Why am I dropping these albums? I could just drop one song. And so he starts dropping one song instead of, you know, a whole album. So then he's, at the time, we meet him and I'm like, I'll direct a music video for you because you need help on the visuals and all that stuff. And so he comes over and I had just finished a recording studio that I built by hands in my basement, but I had built
the basement of a clothing store.
Yeah. And it was like, I built it by hand, like screws, even.
Why?
Because, even flashback farther, I converted my sophomore year dorm into a store. I get in trouble with the dean of housing. They're like, get out of the
dorm.
This
is NYU.
NYU. They're like, get out.
He went to school with Nico Cantor.
Oh, yes.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
Nico was on he was like the second string goalie or third string goalie. And I called him Mayonesa because he has this amazing song that he would sing. And his father is also
Andres Cantor.
Yeah. And so he was always
I worked with him for 2 years on Golazo.
Okay. And I
learned to love him.
But he always was saying he's going to be a commentator. And we're like, I guess. Is that even like possible? And now he's like such a commentator. But that's incredible. But So anyways, I'm at NYU selling out of my dorm room. I get kind of kicked out of my dorm room for it. I look on Craigslist for the whole summer trying to find a spot. I found a spot in Brooklyn that has a bathtub as one of its images. I'm like, I could totally live there. So I move in there with a friend, a girlfriend at the time. And then, I was going to say something funny. But,
it's a comedy show, buddy. Yeah, go for it.
She's not dead, but she's dead. No, no.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Shout
how
out.
They should be.
Shout out to Tony Ann. Let's go.
No, government names.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. But so then I have this store. I have my classes set up Monday, Tuesday. I'm working the store Wednesday to Sunday, and no one's coming in.
The store is the apartment you moved into?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, but it's got a storefront, and I'm like, I thought you just start a store and people start coming. Like, that's how this works. But I was in the middle of nowhere underneath the train. And so I'm like, okay, I got to get people to come here. And I was like, how can I make this more of like a creative space than a store? And so hence I built the recording studio.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so anyways, I build this recording studio. Russ comes. He's from Atlanta. And he's like, man, this is like New York. You can hear the train tracks while you're recording. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, that sucks, or doesn't it? And yeah. He's like, nah, this is inspiring, blah, blah. And so he ends up.
Low key, he's actually from Secaucus, New Jersey originally.
Yeah. When he was born. And then he moved a lot. Virginia for a little bit, I think. But then he starts. He's like, yeah, can I crash here for a little bit? I'm like, dude, crash as long as you want. Yeah. 7 months later, he's kind of still in my basement. And the cool thing is he's like super hardworking and I'm also hardworking. So we'd like wake up, work all day. And I'd be like, yo, you got a song? He's like, yeah, yo, you got this. Da, da. And so we were really, it was a very like fun time period.
But he changed the game by releasing that one song.
So he's releasing one song, but we're good at graphics. So Foda starts making these colored, who lives above, he lives on the second floor. And so he starts dropping these albums with this stylized artwork, which like everything's now tied in, starts working. Then there's a failing comic by the name of Andrew Schultz.
Yeah.
Who also is a hard worker.
Also.
But it's not, the comedy's not really working, but he's like, okay, analyzing everything, and he's a smart guy. He starts looking at the success of Russ, and he's like, Russ drops a song once a week. That maybe I should drop a clip a week.
So let me tell you something. When I found out Andrew Schultz was friends with you, it was like Dangerous Mind. It all came to, because the way Andrew Schultz will tell you is that he was at home touching an orb. And it came to him to release a bit every week. And I go, man, that sounds a lot like the Russ thing. And Russ was in Kid Super's basement. Yeah. I think he got this from Russ. So Russ, because he was allowed to stay at your place, decided to release a song every week. And that inspired Andrew Schultz to release a bit every week. And now he's changed comedy because you let Russ change music.
I actually, in a weird way, this is 100% true.
You changed both industries.
I couldn't agree more.
But
it's the Andrew Schultz thing is true because I met Schultz after Russ.
Yeah.
And Schultz hit me up on Instagram and was like, yo, we're really inspired by what you and Russ are doing out in the store. Let's come. Can we come over? And they came over and talked and like, yeah, he explained the whole thing.
It's great.
Shout out to both Russ and Schultz for just putting their head down.
No, 100%. They deserve all the credit as well. But it wouldn't have happened if you didn't
selling
clothes.
I deserve all. Yeah, exactly.
If you didn't turn your dorm room into a bodega or whatever you were doing
actually,
up there.
I have never thought about it as much as you guys just said it, but I have revolutionized two industries.
Bro. As comedians, I'm thinking, what would Kid Super do now if he was still poor? I need to do that but with my comedy.
Colin,
that's actually pretty cool.
How are you going to revitalize the soccer podcast game.
I don't know about the soccer podcast game, but I do think we're like this thing that I did really actively try to revolutionize, and I'm still trying, is soccer.
You're wearing one of your kids.
This is why I want to give you
in the U.S. soccer. I might be a little. Give me a little bit of
bro.
This is what our MO. We've been. This is the 10th anniversary of our podcast, and our whole goal is to raise the popularity of the sport.
Exactly. And you are sort of like you're weirdly the embodiment of like everything this show is about, right? So whether soccer, comedy, and obviously fashion when it
bad
comes
decision
to
decision maker with storefronts,
and soccer and football when it comes to kids. And I'm wearing one of your shirts. We went to Germany. We were just in Germany about 3 weeks ago, and we were in Dortmund. And you know, just there's something surreal about, like, you know, obviously we met in person yesterday at the NYCFC game, but as someone that we know, being so influential to the game, like, we all love. And out in Germany, people are just rocking your designs. Everybody, the Dortmund, like, front office, everybody was talking about you and stuff like that.
It's crazy.
But this, I mean, we can talk about just sort of the journey, but just specific to football. I mean, you are clearly very passionate about it, but can we talk about the origins of how you got into this game?
If you ask my parents what they thought I was going to be as a kid, and they would say a soccer player.
Yeah.
And so I was super always soccer kid, and I grew up moving a lot. So every time I'd move, the first thing I'd do would join a soccer team. And that was like my whole foundation of friends, personality, what I wore, etc. And so when I moved back to like after high school, I went a year to Brazil to play soccer. Then I played in college. Then I played da da da. And so I won best player in the division as a rookie and stuff like that. So I was a real soccer player. And
midfielder?
Midfielder. And so fashion was kind of the second or third thing. You
know, one of the toughest industries, your fallback plan.
Was like, so like I was always good at school. Like I was good at school, art, and soccer. And those were my three things. Yeah. Art became fashion. Soccer became soccer, what it is. Mm-hmm. And then school, I guess. I went to college for mathematics. So I have like a math degree and stuff like that. But soccer was always, and everything was like the dream. And it's crazy, through fashion, I've been able to check off like all of my fashion or all of my soccer dreams. Like,
sure.
The people that I've played with.
Yeah, you played in some huge games. Yeah,
Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
Kaká. Drogba. Thierry Henry. Makalele. Adriano. Mike Conn. Pierres. You know who coached me? Arsene Wenger.
Like, you've met Arsene Wenger?
He's like 6'10", by the way.
I've met almost everyone else you've said. Yeah. Arsene Wenger is the one guy I need to meet. As an Arsenal fan, that is like my... I grew up without a father. That's my dad.
Yeah. So tell us about that. Yeah. Unpack that.
Again, comedian. In fact. I think that tells you everything.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Dude, you've played with basically every like icon card in Ultimate Team.
But so the thing is, though, a lot of... Especially Germans is a big thing. Like, soccer fans are like... Who's this guy designing our kit? He just cares. Yo, you deeply care about this sport.
Deeply. And when I was designing, when I started working with Puma, which was probably like 4 or 5 years ago, they really wanted me to do like fashion collabs. They look at the collaborations as like elevating in the fashion space, and it's called this whole like select part of Puma. And all I would...
They've got what? ASAP Rocky, Skepta. They did a...
Skepta, Rihanna. And they've had the Dua Lipa. I mean, over the past 5-10 years.
Send me the Skepta shoes, bro. I need the big smokes, bro.
That's probably possible. Yeah. We can head...
10.5.
Yes.
We literally just met the Puma guy.
But now I'm talking to them directly via the pod.
Yeah, so when we're in the meetings, they keep being like, what's your fashion about? And I'm like, all I want to do is soccer with you guys. I'm like, you have the craziest soccer history that people don't talk about enough, right? Puma had Pelé, Maradona, Cruyff, Eusebio, everybody. And so I kept being like, why is this? They basically just took like the 90s and the 2000s off. And Nike just came in and got everyone. But I was telling them, like, okay, you just have this history that you can really play in and everything. And, you know, the Puma Kings. And now they have Neymar and everybody. So I kept pushing. And then so we would do a one-off cleat and collab with Hector Bellerin early on, which was amazing because he wore it in the Premiership. And I was like, oh, my God, my cleats are getting worn in the Premiership. And then slowly. But then they came for the World Club Cup. And they were like, do you want to design 8 of the jerseys?
Yeah.
And
so
I was like,
PSG.
No, I did.
No, PSG's Nike.
Yeah,
so.
I did Palmeiras, Man City, Salzburg, Mamelodi Sundowns, Al Hilal, BVB, and is that 7? Maybe I did 7.
Yeah, but the Mamelodi Sundowns.
Yeah, that one.
People are going crazy over that one.
Well, there's the best thing was the announcer during a game was like, and the best jersey of the tournament. And he's like, you have to be a really good jersey to get the commentators talk about
the
jersey.
It, yeah.
But I was really, I wasn't scared. Like the word, I wouldn't say scared, but I was really trying to honor, like, because you know fucking soccer fans are so mean, especially if you do anything that's like out of the ordinary.
Right, right. Oh my God. If you divert from tradition, even the slightest.
And obviously these are the most diverted from tradition. Yeah, yeah. And so I was also, what people don't understand is like, there's Puma, there's the team, there's FIFA. So I had to get approved by three different organizations for each design. So for each jersey, I probably made like 10 jerseys that like, no, sorry. Whoa. Oh, this is getting rejected.
Can we ever just see those? Oh, like, yeah. Not on camera?
We could pull them up. Oh. I mean, if you have a laptop.
All right. Yes. We got to do that.
I'll show you guys. But it was really a difficult process. And by the end, for some of the jerseys, we were like, just tell us what's allowed. Yeah. And like, I also designed AC Milan and they didn't make the tournament. So I had an AC Milan jersey, which was cool. But what an experience.
Do you have samples of those? Like you have one-offs?
They didn't produce. Maybe they do, but they didn't produce it. But the other cool thing was to see which fan base was like the most powerful or like the most willing to purchase and blah, blah, blah.
Sure, sure.
And like, what do you think was the number one selling?
If I had to say, I'd probably say Palmeiras or BVB.
So Palmeiras like number one far.
Brazilians are crazy.
Mamelodi was,
the most internationally.
Yeah. Monterrey was huge. Oh, I don't know if we mentioned Monterrey.
Yeah, Monterrey. Yeah. Rayados, bro.
But Palmeiras, they were calling I was like, how'd you get my personal number? Yeah. And they're like, we flew to London to try to buy it. Like crazy.
They're
it's sold completely out. I don't even have one. I can't even get one.
Wow.
Because I wanted Estevan to sign it.
Yeah.
Because we have like a. So when I went to Brazil at 17, I stayed with a family who was a coach for Vitória. He's now the youth president of Palmeiras. So he found and scouted Endrick Estevan.
Wow.
And so he's like the god of Palmeiras, but that's like my legit father in Brazil. Yeah. And so now I'm like super connected to
Palmeiras. I have zero dads. Yeah, we're in Brazil now too.
You really gotta get some dads, dude. What are you doing?
Get one dad, dude. Just one.
I'm like collecting all the dads.
Can I give you some credit? Was this a choice? I'm looking at the kit you're wearing. You're wearing the long sleeve Salzburg kit, which is absolutely gorgeous, by the way. But it's not sublimated. This pattern on the fabric is stitched with pieces. You don't see kits made like this anymore. So they're made as one-offs and then there's just sublimated or painted to make it look like what you did. You brought back the old school style kit.
So this is the actual old school kit. So like there's the professional one that they play in, which is also also available. But then this is like the fan one, but it's based off the actual vintage jerseys.
Did you have to get that approved?
So we just kind of fought for it, but Puma was also really down. So like, shout out to Puma. They did a great job for this. And when we were working on it, I was like, how big is this going to be? Like, this seems like a crazy thing. And they ended up doing like blowing it out and like the sales were crazy. And I think one of the coolest things in recent years that like people have done in soccer.
This is the jerseys. Best thing I think Puma's done since some of the kits for like the last AFCON, which were like crazy. But AFCON kits are like skin tight.
And I love the idea, like I'm American. It was in America. Yeah. It was like a really good story to tell. And we were really worried because like at first some of the jerseys leaked like on the ground and they were like, you know, some fans were like, what is this? And now I see like the turn.
Yeah.
Like even the Mamelodi, some people were like, man, what is this? Who wants a fucking painting? And then all of a sudden it was like, wait, this is the best jersey ever. That was funny to watch. BVB had some hate initially and then all of a sudden became like a cult classic because.
Are these ice cubes?
No, they're honeycombs because it's the drawing of a honeycomb.
Really? Oh, I see the pattern now.
People didn't know. They were like, what is it? It's
to me, it was like, I call it the cocktail kit because it looks like ice at the top.
See, so like, exactly. We had to tell the stories. There's all like why we did everything. And BBB was a hard one because we got denied a lot.
Yeah.
Well, we were just in Germany and as especially we go on these like Bundesliga media trips and we're the only comedians there. Yeah. So we've sort of managed to find our niche, but we're like sort of welcomed by like the industry. But anytime we suggested anything a little unorthodox, they're like, oh, no, we do not do that here in
Dortmund.
Sorry,
this is Germany. This is, we have rules
well,
here.
They have, BVB has a funny thing with Puma because they did one of the jerseys that looked like the sinking ship. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
Oh, is this the one that had the building background?
But it looked like a sinking ship, and then they lost like in the last game to
So
everyone blamed the jersey. So I'm talking to Puma. I'm like, damn, this is gonna be because like they were like so mad at Puma. The funniest thing about that jersey is that was a fan chosen jersey. Puma didn't even really design it. So like I know the designers, and they're like, we're getting roasted for this team. The fans picked, and then you're like, so
blame the 50+1 rule.
I was like, really, like, okay, we have to like try our hardest not to get completely roasted. And so we were trying to think, like, if someone wins, it doesn't matter. Like, if you win, the jerseys are iconic.
Yeah.
And then fucking no Puma team won. Yeah. And I was like so sad because I was like, oh, Man City's got a shot. Then Man City lost to Al Hilal, which is both of my jerseys. I'm like, oh, we took out each other.
Like you're watching your children fight.
I know. I was like, but what a crazy moment to like watch a game where you design both of the jerseys.
I mean, it must be surreal for you.
There was another one where Estevan was wearing the Palmeiras kit and him and Messi exchanged shirts. So there is a world where there's a kid super column jersey hanging up in Messi's house.
Right.
Which is just insane.
In your brain, he hung it up.
Messi's hanging up in Estevan's jersey.
That one's hung up. Maybe there's a world where he was like, that's a nice kid.
And he's just like, maybe I should wear it.
Whoever designed this, good job.
I'm a Ronaldinho stan.
That's
clear. Which is Barca. But
I was going to say, what era do you point to the most? Because some people say Milan, some people say Barca.
No, and the Milan one is just, that's not the
okay. I mean, I'm letting
it's an amazing era.
I think it's the kid, too. The kid is so iconic.
Well, the squad was iconic.
Yeah, of course.
Ronaldinho is like kind of just hanging out with like every superstar ever. That squad should have won so much. But I think they were all, there's an amazing podcast with Prince Boateng talking about Ronaldinho being there. And the joke was, or the inside joke was like, we're playing poker, but it was just they're at the club. And Ronaldinho calls Prince like 1,000 times. And Prince is next to his wife. And there's a club in the background. And you hear Ronaldinho be like, poker, poker. And it's like, the wife is just like, he's clearly not playing poker. But I love the idea of like, I mean, Ronaldinho's just the best. My absolute idol.
Except the early Barca managers when Messi got in.
Everyone else
would agree.
Yeah.
I think, I'm sure you have plenty of Ronaldinho stories already. We have. Did you tell him our Ronaldinho story?
From the EAFC?
No. Before that.
Have we ever said this on the podcast?
I think we have.
All right.
Exclusive.
I think it is.
So this is our Ronaldinho story.
There's, what is it, 2021, if I'm not mistaken?
2022.
We get flown out to Liverpool to tour Goodison. He's an Everton fan.
Yeah, so I'm
Everton. Okay. Arsenal's playing away, so they're doing a whole thing. It's like the Cooligans Day, basically.
We're doing we're filming a documentary for this match.
By the way, Highbury, same designer of Highbury designed Goodison Park. Okay. So I never got to go to Highbury. I was too poor until, you know, the Emirates came about when I finally started making money. So I could never go. So this was closure for me to get to see like what the inside of the stadium looks like, get that experience. Yada, yada, yada. We're on our way. I happen to have met one of Ronaldinho's business partners. And I messaged him and said, we're at a gala.
We hosted
a gala and the guy's like, I work with Ronaldinho. I'm working on his app or whatever. We'd love to get you guys involved somehow. I said, we'd love to. I messaged him. I said, hey, we're going to be in England. I know you're in England. Are you in like Liverpool or London? We can maybe meet up. And he said, what days are you going to be there? And I tell him the days. He goes, I might have something for you. Ronaldinho's birthday party is going to be happening in Dubai. Would you like to host it? I don't care what words come next. You have to fight a line. The answer is yes. Ronaldinho's birthday party. Ronaldinho's birthday party. And I said, yo, here's the thing. What day is it? It's the day before the match.
Yeah.
So we promised Arsenal we're going to go. I'm sorry, Everton. Guess what? We're not allowed. We were supposed to interview a bunch of players. We're not allowed to talk to anybody associated with the club match day minus one, which is that day. So I said, there's a way this could work. The game is at night. Can you fly us? We're interviewing people the day before. Can you fly us that night to Dubai? We host the event. We fly back on the red eye. We get there before the match. They said, taken care of. We're like first class on like Emirates, the whole nine. It's me, him,
I'm getting goosebumps.
Bro, me, him, and our videographer. we're texting the videographer like, oh my God, we're bring your passport. He's on the phone. He's a homie, right? He lives in London. He's like, what's going on? I'm like, Dubai, we're going to a birthday party. He's like, I can't tell my wife. This is crazy. Right? We're like, everyone's going nuts. We're like, everything's ready to go. We're texting. Everything's confirmed. We're in Liverpool. We're still at that time where we have to do like COVID tests. So we're like getting him to go to the store to get COVID tests for us in case we have to get it to the flight. Mm-hmm. We're going to stuff him in our backpack. We got everything is planned. Everything's perfect. 2 days before, we get a text. We're struggling finding Ronaldinho. So I was like, oh, okay.
The birthday boy?
We're going to go, though. Like, right? Like, we're still going.
We can celebrate without him there, right? Yeah.
So we're getting, that text gets deleted.
Oh.
This is WhatsApp.
Oh,
so
okay.
That text gets deleted for everybody. And then I get a phone call from the guy. This is the day before we would have flown. So we're interviewing players. Hey, so Ronaldinho forgot that he booked a UNICEF event. So he's not going to make it to the birthday party. So the birthday party's off. So there's no event. So we're going to cancel the flights. There's nothing happening.
They sent us the tickets.
We have the tickets and everything. And he goes, I go, where's the UNICEF event? He goes, come on, man. And he hangs up the phone.
So that was.
Wow.
I was on the edge of my seat.
No, so were we.
Up until the EAFC event, we had which was 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah.
We had never met Ronaldinho until that moment.
I said to the photographer, I need you to do me a favor. There's like 7 photographers at this EA event. I need you to get one photo of me making Ronaldinho laugh. It'll be just for me. It will make my life if I can make this man laugh. And I know he speaks Spanish, so I'm dropping stuff in Spanish. It's him and Sean White playing on the same team. The next seat over is Alex Morgan and our very close friend Ali Krieger. I didn't even realize it was him. All I was doing was hanging out behind Sean White and Ronaldinho trying to make him laugh. I make him laugh. I said to the photographer, I go, did you get any photos? He's like, nah, man, they pulled me into another area. I don't think I got it. I'm like so pissed off. I'm like, I can't believe this didn't happen. The next day I start getting texts while I'm asleep. And I look, Ronaldinho posted a photo of me making a laugh in his feed. It's like the first photo. I'm like, oh my God. In a way, kind of full circle.
Wow. That was a roller coaster.
Yo, we were
this
close.
What was the Dubai party like?
We were this close to being in Dubai. Even my wife was like, what's this Ronaldinho player like? And I'm like, yeah, he's a chill guy.
He works for UNICEF.
Yeah. He cares about the people, you know?
That's good.
Dude.
I have a lot of stories, but I used to just Instagram, like, Kid Super new drop, happy birthday, Ronaldinho. I can't wait till we get married. Kid Super new product, like, Ronaldinho's the greatest person of all time. And one kid on Instagram was like, I know Ronaldinho. And it was like, I've been posting this for, like, you know, 10 years, like, you know, the occasional I just like draw him, post it on Instagram, do all this stuff. And so this kid's like, I know Ronaldinho. His name's Emery. And I'm like, sure you do. But obviously any little bit of, I'm like, okay, amazing. What now? Yeah. And so kind of a super interesting story, but like during like 2000, Ronaldinho was doing a friendly for Brazil in America. And this kid's father owns a sports store in Chicago. And Ronaldinho and the brother went to the sports store because they're like, we're in Chicago, let's go look at whatever. And Ronaldinho's brother, who's his manager, who's amazing, and the guy just kept in touch for like 20 years. Like anytime he was in Chicago, he'd come and to the sports store, they hang out. And so this kid is the son of that guy. And so he does know Ronaldinho. And so he puts me in a group chat with Ronaldinho's brother and the kid. And every time Kid Super does anything awesome, the kid sends it to the group chat. Then he's like, look at what he's doing now. Look at what he's doing.
Wow.
And so probably after like 6 months of like this group chat going, Ronaldinho's brother's like, okay, fine, I'll meet him. Like, he's like, we're in Miami right now. And I'm like, that's so funny. I'm in Miami. And I'm like, I just have something for
you
like
running to LaGuardia. Yeah.
I'm like, I just have something for like 5 hours. And so I fly to Miami and I'm sitting down at lunch with Ronaldinho's brother and the kid and everybody. And in walks Ronaldinho to this restaurant. And I'm like,
this is your first time.
First time. Man. And I'm like, this can't be. Because also he was a little bit late. So I'm like, maybe he's not coming. Whatever, blah, blah. And so
he has an aura, though.
I'm like, and also I think we forget how famous he is.
Yeah.
Because right. he was on the face of everything ever.
Yeah.
FIFA cover. He represented all of Brazil. Right. He represented all of soccer. Joga Bonito, Nike. Da, da,
fair
da.
To say he's the biggest name in soccer after Maradona?
At the time, at the time. For sure.
He was like the next one was like the biggest name everybody knew.
So everyone in the restaurant obviously knows. We know, blah, blah. And so I'm freaking out. We're talking and I speak Portuguese. Okay, because I spent the year there playing. And so I'm there, da, da, da. And then all of a sudden they're like, so what do you want? And I was like,
this.
Well, this is pretty awesome.
It's happening.
Like, yeah. This seems like enough.
Yeah.
But I was like, but if I could dream crazy, it would be amazing if he walked my fashion show. In Paris, he played for PSG.
Yeah, of course.
He's the, I think, like the most fashion icon soccer player.
He personifies Paris.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not even Parisian.
They're like, in Portuguese, they're like, top, top, which is just like awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, awesome, yeah. awesome.
Is that a handshake?
Is top, yes?
Yeah. And so anyways, we leave the meeting and like lunch and they're like, yeah, keep texting me. Or like, I keep texting them like, so are you coming? You're coming and blah, blah, blah. And like, end up happening. And so I remember.
Was it the same week as his fucking birthday party in Dubai by any chance?
Well, that was the funny thing because I remember being like talking to the booking agent for flights and stuff. And they're like, just don't book anything in the morning.
Oh, yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Flights at 10 p.m. But he ends up coming and I'm so nervous, right? And his brother and him and his like day-to-day best friend Alvin are like amazing dudes and they know how much I love soccer, but when he comes for the fitting, I bring a soccer ball and I'm like, I'm gonna juggle in front of Ronaldinho, blah, blah, blah. And there's a video and I'm like, everyone film fucking everything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so there's a
17 videographers.
I'm like, everyone coming. And he comes, just him and a friend, we start playing and he's like, he's got a better touch than pros.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I need new pants.
And he's like, well, you ever want to play with me on these celebrity games? And that's how the whole thing starts because I brought the ball. And then he's like, well, we have a celebrity game in Miami next week. And I'm like, I'll be wherever, whenever. Yeah. And so play with him in Miami, play with him in Colombia. Play with him.
Brother.
And so, unbelievable.
Good for you.
And I was like,
I'm so proud.
And like, little, I'm obsessed with Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, when they're like, it was very funny because if you look at any interview or anything, they're like, who's your style icon, all the fashion? Who do you want to meet? It would always be Ronaldinho. And now I'm like, wow,
what are you gonna do now? Yeah. Who's number two?
There's like, it's no one. Yeah, no one's even close.
I never even thought about it
because I was like, this Ronaldinho thing, and like to have him participate in a kid super event, have him walk, just crazy.
All right.
What do you think about the style of soccer players now? Because I used to think of like professional football, especially in Europe.
Yeah.
And I thought they dress so corny. They would wear like, no disrespect to your friends, anything with D squared. No.
That's
so embarrassing.
Well, you remember, you know, Mario Balotelli walked my last show.
Yeah. I was about the name. A lot of bedazzling.
He was an iconic fashion icon back in the day when he was first coming out. But I know Hector Bellerin really well. And he was like kind of the first person to really be like, I care about fashion.
But he was like modern fashion, not just I'm rich and I can buy
expensive. Right, no, but he's like looking at it, caring about what he wears when he walks through. And he was getting so much hate.
Yeah.
And now it's completely changed. And he's the icon, but like now every player kind of cares a little bit.
Sure, sure.
And they're trying to be.
You got
to
drop a fit pick.
What is it, the Claire Fontaine when the French players get to the national? It is a fashion walk, bro.
Jules Koundé is like the.
He's incredible.
And so he's actually like, because he came to the Kid Superstore and like all he wanted to talk about was fashion. And I was like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
I was like, how's it playing for Barcelona? How good is Lamine Yamal?
Yeah.
And he's like, that good.
We'll meet players from Europe. And I'm like, I got to hang out with Thierry. And all I want to do, I was at, I can't say that part of the story. I'll tell you that off the record. But I was hanging out with Thierry Henry at one point. And I'm like, remember that free kick against Chelsea? And he's done this a million times. He's like, what's it like being on stage when someone
heckles?
I'm like,
about comedy all the time.
I'm like, who cares about that? Yeah. I don't care about
that. People like Thierry Henry be like, wow, I can never do what you do. I'm like, what you've done is way harder.
Commander.
What have you seen? When you have a statue.
No, it's funny when they're talking about fashion as well.
Or they want to talk NBA or NFL. I'm like, I don't care about the Giants right now, dog.
Yeah, no, that is a funny moment where you're like, who cares at all about what I'm doing? You are the gods.
Exactly. So, when are you going to make a Knicks jersey, bro?
So we're kind of with, I mean, this might hurt, but we work with the Nets. No, but also Kip kind of is now pretty solidified.
Oh yeah, he's with
the Knicks, so I'm trying to solidify with the Nets. So
all right, that's fair.
And then we can be really beef. We can beef. Me and Ronnie can beef.
All right, fashion. So Ronaldinho played for Barca. Their biggest rival is Real Madrid.
Yeah, and I'm a Real Madrid fan.
Right.
Who but you is, remember when they clapped? Hold on.
Yeah, that's true. That's
just, I was there the whole time.
See, I told you guys. Who's Kid Super's Real Madrid or who's Kid Super's Barcelona?
In brand, I was like, Kid Super's Real Madrid's Real Madrid. I'm a huge Real Madrid. Yeah. Who's my like competitor?
Yeah. What's the fashion like, super classico?
The Kithico.
Yeah, the Kithico.
Kithico. Great name for the game upstairs.
I don't have too much. I mean, fashion beef is hilarious.
But not beef, but like you guys compete.
You
play in the same.
Like respectful beef.
Your streetwear is different. I don't see you competing with an MMA.
I wouldn't say my exact competition. Yeah, I don't know. It's a hard one. Because also the thing that's a little bit funny about fashion is like we really don't know each other. Yeah. Like the cool thing about soccer is like you get up and you play and you meet and you like, you know, and then you play in the national team.
You guys
together.
Don't exchange shirts and
like,
fashion?
Yeah, like I've met Ronnie once, right? And we had lunch together and it was super cool. But like he was like, who are you? And I was like, who are you? You know, we don't really know each other. So that's like a little bit kind of funny of like. Also, everyone lives super far. Like, you know, a lot of people are based in LA or their brands are European and stuff like that. So like,
So at Fashion Week, y'all don't ever get together?
We try. Yeah. Like there's people trying to do it, but not really.
Really?
It's like I think there's like probably more beef than there is like camaraderie.
That's unfortunate.
Which is like kind of weird because you're like, this is so unserious. Like, but like people are like more like, it's not that. We're beefing, but it's more like
those bitches put a fifth button. Yeah. I'm the fifth button. Everybody knows that.
I cannot believe that was my.
How long is the cuff? This war.
It's interesting because even in comedy, there's like at least like clicks, right? And the thing that I
hung out with Schultz a couple times, and I remember I didn't know everyone, and I remember being like, oh, you guys are kind of funny. They're like, we're professionals. And I was like,
kind of what we do.
You're not that funny. Yeah. I haven't laughed that much. But I didn't realize that like they kind of only, comedians only hang out with comedians.
Yeah.
Which like.
Who else lives our lives?
Yeah. But like fashion people, I hang out with zero.
Yeah. Wow.
So like it's kind of a different world. Like my friends are 0% into fashion. And so that I was really, because I guess. Maybe I assumed that comedy was so competitive that you wouldn't want to be around your friends because like you'd be stealing each other's jokes or like kind of grow to have similar styles.
That can happen. That's a good part. But the first part that couldn't be further from the
truth. But like, okay, you were just talking about like the shirt being ripped, blah, blah, blah. Now I could on stage like, I got this vet friend. Yeah. Then it's like, wait, that's my material.
But the community would scold
you. We self-police.
It would be like.
But like, that's what I just assumed. Like, you guys live the same lives, which is like, or similar lives. You're getting similar inspiration for jokes. Maybe you don't want to live similar lives so you can get, but.
I get it.
I don't know.
I could see why you would assume that, but it's furthest from the truth. Maybe we'd all be better if we stopped being such friends.
But I was really surprised how much comedians are friends with comedians.
No one else understands us.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. It's like my wife, who's a nurse, she has all her friends are now comics because I've been in this world since 2009. So she's friends with female comics, some of the biggest names in the world. And she's like, no one else would understand. If I wasn't married to a comedian, I couldn't be your friend.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't understand the way you think, the way you talk to people, because we have no filters. Right. You know what I mean? We say what comes to our mind.
Well, also, I've hung out a couple times where you guys are like kind of like one-upping each other jokes, or like everyone wants to have like the ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, guys. Like, and like, oh, good tag. And I'm like, what the hell is that? That's a nice bit. I'm like,
you got him in your shirts, dog. Yeah. You know about tags.
No, but now I'm, well, I don't know if you know this, but we do monthly comedy shows at the Kid Super store.
Well, we were going to bring it up. But
okay.
Yeah. I'll have to swing by and check.
You should come. And like, I think what's been fun is every time they get on stage, we give them some Kid Super.
Nice.
And we kind of give them like outlandish Kid Super stuff.
Yeah.
So they spend the first minute kind of being like, what am I wearing?
Yeah. And stuff like I think that. I saw Sam Morrell. And I'm like, the person who would least be dressed in Kid Super.
Then he got into it, and then he was looking like, "Oh, I look pretty good." Yeah. And like so,
he dresses like a substitute teacher at like a very poor public school.
Yeah, and I think that's his like a whole life. Yeah. Like that's his whole personality.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed a ton meeting and hanging out, because I was always like the funny guy in growing up,
right?
And like,
well, you can't do it all, Colin.
No, I wasn't saying I was doing, but like, so I look always loved comedy and was always fucking around, especially in the fashion world, which like people take quite seriously. And so we were always like, damn, how can we get into this? And it was cool that again, like this fashion world has kind of checked off a lot of my like loves outside of fashion, being able to like do a comedy show, being able to do the soccer stuff, being able to do the film stuff, because we have to do short films and stuff like that. So
What's left for Colin?
Shout out to fashion. I mean, I think building on all the foundations that I've done. So like, what's the next step of a fashion or a comedy show? Do I do like a little festival? Do I do a festival that combines fashion, art, comedy is something that and music is something that I've always dreamt of doing. I think it's like all the stuff that I've touched, building on it. But I think people think or see Kid Super as like, oh, like now he's trying this or trying this. But if you like scroll back my Instagram, like I threw a comedy show 10 years ago at our first Kid Super building.
Yeah.
Like the soccer thing, obviously I've been doing forever, but like, all the things that I'm doing now, I tried, just no one was paying attention.
Yeah, fashion opened the door for you to do all the other things you're passionate about. And everyone assumes you're just a fashion guy.
Yeah.
You get to shut up and dribble, but is it shut up and design?
I think no one loves like a half-asser, I think. And I don't either. And when I hear people like, I'm multi-hyphenate, I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
And then they're like, Colin, you're multi-hyphenate. And I'm like, I would never say it out loud, though.
Yeah.
But I try really hard in all of the respective fields. And so I think now it's cool to see them hit the level that they've hit.
It's fantastic. I want to mention this because we're excited to be doing this. We're going to be hosting the Times Square Cup with BVB. So I think a lot of people are going to see these shirts out there. So the Times Square Cup is they partner with Street Soccer USA, and they build a pitch in the middle of Times Square. We did it 2 years ago.
Yeah, we did it 2 years ago.
They've done it the last couple of years. I don't know if you're playing in it. It's a fire.
I heard it's October 11th.
Right? I heard it's October 11th.
So yeah, if I'm in town, I'm playing.
Okay. And I've seen you play.
By the way, Ronaldinho requested you be there.
Yeah.
If Ronaldinho's there, you know, we'll both be there.
No, but it's an exciting thing. I mean, for us, I mean, we do like commentary on a lot of these games and stuff like that. So like what I said earlier about just merging all these different passions, the fact that we not only can do comedy within the confines of soccer, but the fact that that we've been like welcome and BVB has been nothing but kind and welcoming. So even
all of Bundesliga is really cool.
Yeah, it's funny because,
which is shocking because you think of Bundesliga as like no jokes at all.
No, right. They look at us and go like, when are they going to stop? They do invite us.
But, and that's the awesome thing. And when like we went for the first time to Germany in 2018, and even then, like it's sort of a risk for them to like stick their neck out and be like, hey, we think these guys offer something to the German game. Yeah. Like, it's just not even a thing thought about.
Who knew? Germans might be like kind of cool.
They might be pretty cool.
If you get to know them. Yeah.
I did Germany's Next Top Model.
Did you really?
And I was on it with Heidi Klum.
Get out of here.
And I was like a special guest. And yeah, so I flew to Germany, and like, that was a crazy production. And supposedly Germany's Next Top Model is like huge there.
Really?
So like, yeah, it was a crazy.
They've time. Got beautiful models. I mean, we all know
but
them.
It was also, I was like, am I supposed to pick which is the?
But, you're cool. That's, I feel like what you would say. Come on, Kids Super!
Thank you so much for coming through.
He's kind of, he touched every button. We had to sway, had to wipe the whole thing down.
Bro, he brought his you know, there's glitter all over this thing, bro.
He's gold dust.
our soundboard is bedazzled.
Yeah.
But no, shout out to Colm. Really, really dope. I think he's a very, very interesting and insightful dude. And also very... you know, you sort of sometimes you think of like fashion people as being, I don't know, not necessarily not multifaceted, but like very hyper focused on you think that they carry themselves in a certain way or have a certain personality. But
he breaks
like
the mold.
Very, very down to earth. Really good dude. I mean, who's hung out with Ronald Dino all these times, play soccer. But
so many interesting
stories. Much more humble than you would sort of think based on scrolling through his Instagram. That's
what I
was thinking. So that was really, really dope to meet him. So shout out to Kid Super. Hopefully he's at the Times Square Cup this weekend. He said he might be available. So just another reminder, October 11th. Kicks off at 9 a.m. in Times Square. We all love Times Square.
Oh, my God. That's where we all hang out.
We all hang out.
I get dinner there every night.
Hey, I'm a New Yorker, and I go to Times Square.
Tad Steaks. only $3.99 for a steak. What could go wrong?
But absolutely, it's going to be really, really dope. We're going to cooliganify Times Square a little bit.
That's right. Christian's ball is going to drop. Just like... New Year's Eve, dude. And he's going to have a deep voice the next episode, bro.
Things are going to change. I'm going to start finally getting some respect around here.
Oh, yeah. It's about damn time.
So come through. We'll see you there. All right. As always.
Also, if you want to check out the whole interview, go to our YouTube tomorrow at noon. We got the rest of it. Dude, he is so entertaining.
Yes.
You got to check out the rest of the interview.
Tuesday, yes. October 7th.
Sure.
So make sure you do that. New Eastern time.
Although, if you watch this after that, just go there now.
So shout out to Colm. Thank you again for joining us. Make sure you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans. Follow us on Blue Sky at SoccerCooligans.com on there. Hit like on this video. Hit subscribe. Do all your homework.
Already know what to do. We're going to laminate it and send it out to all the things you got to do.
Exactly. You're going to put every morning you wake up, you're going to look at our photo and a little YouTube description of everything you're supposed to do on this channel. And you're going to do one of these. To both of us, right there.
Maybe my side's a little more moist than the other side. Who knows?
So, you know how people have like players posters on the wall. Why can't they have the Cooligans on their wall, bro?
We gotta start sending out some posters.
Okay, bro. Underwear photo shoot coming soon.
Hell yeah, bro. What underwear is gonna be in my mouth? Why is this episode still going?
All right, thank you so much. Thank you everybody for tuning in. See you in Times Square.